Sorry, everyone, for the small technical hindrance there. I'm glad that you can hear me loud and clear now. Yeah, so if you want to check us out on Rumble specifically, that's where you can give us a Rumble rant, and it's a way for you to support our journalism and give us some direct feedback on the live stream, on live air. So if you give us a small little monetary donation there, it's a great way to support us and also interact with us on the live stream, get your comment, your opinion, give us a tip or a trick. Especially ahead of the 1 million March for Kids that is happening coast to coast to coast all across Canada tomorrow, Wednesday, September the 20th. We actually wanted to announce here that due to our extensive coverage, we will be in various provinces all across the country tomorrow, and we will not have the capacity to host the live stream, unfortunately, for you tomorrow. So for all of our viewers at home, we won't be hosting a live stream tomorrow because of our extensive coverage on the 1 million March for Kids. And that's being coordinated and planned coast to coast to coast. So please stay tuned at stopclassroomgrooming.com. That's the website where we will compile all of our notable tweets and clips and reports from the event. And unfortunately, because we are deploying everyone from the team, for the most part, we won't have the capacity to live stream to you tomorrow, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that event and the protests and the union hysterics that have followed in a few minutes. So we do have a rough schedule here, and Alexa, maybe you jumped ahead a little bit, but we'll come back to the clips over the weekend from the Global Summit, Global Action Summit, which a lot of people were like, why is this even a thing? What is this? But first, let's start off with some Canadian specific news here. We have an announcement today that Canada's inflation rate has increased to 4%. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise. So the sub headline here is that grocery prices increased at a 6.9% annual pace. So grocery prices are almost double the overall inflation rate. And it says here in the first paragraph from this CBC News article that Canada's inflation rate jumped higher last month to an annual pace of 4%, mostly because of an increase in gasoline prices. So if you're not aware, the Liberal government has imposed what's called a carbon tax onto Canadians indiscriminately. And as a result of those continually increasing carbon tax implementations, the price of food and basically everything else, but especially food, has skyrocketed, adding to the already existing cost of living crisis. Mm-hmm. And as mentioned, this already present inflationary period the Canadians are expecting. The article goes on to say that prices at the pump increased by 4% in August alone and are up by 0.08% compared to where they were a year ago. And a year ago, it was expensive as it was. I think a lot of Canadians are currently really grappling with the cost of gas and electricity and well, obviously food. But I also think that many Canadians are really nervous heading into the winter when we rely on fossil fuels to heat our homes and quite literally stay warm. Alexa, what do you think about the cost of living, the cost of groceries, the carbon tax?
Seriously, I remember the time where I was paying my bread $1. Now it's $6, sometimes $7 for just a loaf. But the thing is, they are increasing the carbon tax. And now they are threatening grocery stores to put a tax on them if they are not cooperating on lowering the price of the food. But yes, there is a part of the profit that the grocery store are making, but one of the biggest like problem right now, since the inflation and the cost of living crisis, it's because they are just putting tax on taxes and not in the taxes. And so at the end of the day, the problem is actually coming from the Liberals cabinet government that fail to really manage the finance. And now they are threatening the grocery store with another taxes because they put the blame on them when the blame should be on the liberals.
Of course, that's, it seems to be a typical liberal deflection tactic, is to blame everybody else instead of having the introspection to self-reflect. And we have a clip here to share with you of our deputy prime minister, also the finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, where she's announcing that the country will, well, tax the grocery stores. Let's have a look.
As the prime minister announced just on Thursday, our government expects our country's largest grocers to take a Team Canada approach and do their part to get prices down and keep them down.
A Team Canada, that remember me like, not like something like socialism or communism, like when you say, now you will work for the country and you will like put all the same, like as we tell you to do. No, isn't it? Like what I can feel like, it's not Canada that we used to know. Like when we see that our government is speaking like that to some of the company here in the country.
Well, and when will the Liberals take a Team Canada approach and cut their carbon tax? They know that Canadians are struggling in this inflationary period with a cost of living crisis, with a housing crisis. Why aren't they taking this alleged Team Canada approach and simply cutting their carbon tax? That would be a quick, easy fix and save a lot of Canadians grief, both on their immediate bills, but also through that, what I like to call the ricochet effect, where because of the carbon tax on retailers, their prices have gone up. And yeah, I'm sure that there's greed and profits involved there, like any business model, but I'm not sure that the government meddling in that and threatening more tax is really going to save the consumers anything.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And we have another clip too from the same Chrystia Freeland at the same event, the Socialist Summit, as it was coined, where she says that Canada's record high immigration that's directly causing that housing crisis I've mentioned is part of, oh, so cringy, Canada's secret sauce, apparently.
We're delivering on a particularly Canadian pillar of our country's long-term prosperity, immigration. At a moment when an aging population is one of the greatest challenges facing the developed Western world, when our economies are all desperate for skilled workers, Canada's unique enthusiasm for welcoming new Canadians not only makes our communities more vibrant, it is also an international economic competitive advantage. And sorry to the non-Canadians who are here, this is one, this is part of Canada's secret sauce economically.
Oh my goodness. It's not really a secret that this, these outrageous and unprecedented immigration targets are completely unsustainable, and there is quite simply not the infrastructure in place to support it. We are seeing, you know, seasoned immigrants who have skill sets and education and a professional rapport to back them. And then they come into the country and they cannot easily assimilate into that profession because of government red tape and roadblocks. And so that aside from the housing crisis, where we do not have the capacity to house everybody, you're seeing seasoned, skilled immigrants come into the country, end up on the streets, homeless, having to go to church basements to simply find a place to sleep, to eat. There is not the infrastructure in place to house everybody. And it's 1.5 million immigrants. That's the target by 2025. So over the next 2.5, 3 years from when that was originally announced, we're expected to come up with 1.5 million houses, roughly. And that's only legal immigrants there. That does not count the influx of illegal aliens coming into the country through illegal border crossings like Roxham Road, which you've reported on extensively, Alexa. And over half of those immigrants end up coming to Ontario and specifically the Greater Toronto Area. And we have Ontario Premier Doug Ford, who's under fire for wanting to develop the Greenbelt, which is where that housing infrastructure, the public transit lines, that all exists currently within the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. And he's under fire for wanting to develop some of the lush farm and greenlands, which, I mean, I see that side of things, but I also see the fact that where else are we going to house everyone? This just seems like a disaster from all levels of government, but primarily the federal government, who's opened the floodgates with no real tangible plan on how this is actually going to unfold on the ground.
But the secret sauce, I would say that it's mostly destroying Canada, destroying our reputation, especially when you think that people from outsider are looking at Canada with like our immigrants sleeping in the street. Mm-hmm. Like during the there is rain, they need to try to find themselves like some food. They have like actually no help at all when you look like at Toronto. And that's supposed to be our secret sauce, and she's proud of that. I would say that this is actually a really, really bad move from her to have say that.
Yeah, I mean, what else is new with Chrystia Freeland? But also, there is that. There is an issue with the aging population, right? We have all the baby boomers, and I agree, they are aging out. They will need to have sustained senior care. But I don't know that the be-all end-all is just immigration. I remember back in the fall of 2020, and I'm having a hard time finding a photo of it, but there was a Vancouver advertising campaign that essentially urged and called on parents to have fewer children. And so when you see the birth rate at an all-time low in this country, and you know that you have an aging population that you're going to need population growth to continue to sustain, then why are we putting out ad campaigns telling people to have fewer children? And then, and likewise, why is the government making it so difficult for Canadians of those child-rearing, child-bearing ages to get ahead, to start a family? I mean, it has never looked less lucrative to own a home in this day and age. It's never looked less lucrative to work full-time. You could sit around and get government handouts probably for more than you would make working a full-time job. Yeah, here's some of the Vancouver ads. There was one in particular, I believe Drea Humphrey, our British Columbia correspondent, did a report on this. And the visual was a child, and it said something about, you know, climate change and why would you have more of me? It was really gross. I'm paraphrasing completely. I don't remember exactly what it said. But at the end of the day, it was really a marketing campaign targeting these younger demographics, telling them that if you have more babies, you're going to kill the planet with carbon outputs. And so we have on one side that happening to our Canadian population. And on the other side of the coin, you have Chrystia Freeland saying that our secret sauce to keep our economy going and continue to sustain those aging boomer population is mass immigration, which we don't even have the infrastructure to house and to appropriately take on. It's a big mess. And that's what happens when you have a prime minister and a cabinet that is not qualified in their positions and their portfolios. And so we are seeing the real-time fallout of this poor governance. And because of the unofficial Liberal NDP coalition in the House of Commons, there's really no end in sight. It's really, really sad to see as a Canadian born and raised. And that's not to say I'm not against immigration, because I think there's a great number of people who want to come to our country, want to actually assimilate into our country, but our country is being sold to them as this holy grail of freedom and prosperity and wealth. And what we're seeing more and more is that isn't actually the case. And unfortunately, they don't find that out until it's too late. They're already here and they're put up in a hotel, or they're living in the basement of a church that's just opened their doors on an emergency basis so that people aren't sleeping on the street. It's not as advertised by the Liberal government. Heed our warning.
Yeah, and I was going to say before you were talking about it, here in Montreal too, they were distributing a pamphlet saying that something that you can do for the planet is making one less baby per family that will contribute to help. And now we have like those, that new generation that are growing in this fear mongering of climate change and the destroying of the planets. And a lot of them are just like into anxiety, and they don't want to be one, like to be the responsible of like the destruction of the planet. So most of them will not make baby anymore. And we just see like what is going on with the children at school, with the indoctrination and what they receive as information is just crazy. And instead of promoting and helping the parents to grow their children better in a, with like financial help and helping them with tools and promoting to have more baby, and we will give you more money if more you get baby, because it's what happened at one time. And no, instead of that, they just like switched that to massive immigration. And so now we will have like fewer Canadian, like Canadian from roots, and we'll have more like immigrant. But I'm not against immigration, because immigration help a country to get prosper and to get economically stable and help to develop also certain part of the country, because Canada is really large and we have like some part of the land that we can like maybe exploit more. But what we see, it's actually the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's because the government's standing in the way and is not instituting infrastructure that's necessary to make this a tangible reality. So we have to live through it. Thank you. While they live in their ivory towers and jet set and globetrot and preach to you and lecture you about climate change and reducing carbon footprints. So once again, hypocrisy of the bureaucracy is on full display. And especially, as I said, contrasting that with telling Canadians to have fewer children to save the climate, yet having these open, unabated immigration targets in place at the exact same time. It really just doesn't make logical sense. But let's go to an ad break and we'll come back and we'll chat more about this socialist summit where you were able to chase some politicians, Alexa.
Come on out November 25th. It's all aboard the Freedom Train in Niagara-on-the-Lake. You can check Rebel News for updates and also the Freedom Passport site.
Tamara Leach, who led the Truckers Convoy, will be sharing the stage with some of the finest international recording artists, like the Chops Horns from New York City, who's played with Alicia Keys, Stevie Wonder, the Rolling Stones, and many more. Plus New World Sun, just off a European tour, and the legendary R&B master, Leroy Emanuel. Get on the Freedom Train with Tamara Leach. Saturday, November 25th at Niagara-on-the-Lake Central Community Center, 680 York Road. Get your tickets today at freedompassport.ca. The Freedom Train is coming. Know your rights. Know your freedoms.
Hey, Ben Shapiro here. This November, the Wilberforce Project is bringing me to Canada. If you want to fight the woke machine destroying families, join me in Calgary for my talk, hosted by the Wilberforce Project. Go to benshapirolive.ca for info and tickets.
Yeah, that Ben Shapiro event looks like lots of fun. It's going to happen on November 16th. The ad didn't specify, but he'll be in Calgary with the Wilberforce Project, which is formerly the Alberta Pro-Life, if I remember their previous name correctly. He's really well known for quick thinking and his humorous defense of common sense principles, really tackles the culture wars. And I think now more than ever, we really need that comedic relief of people like Ben Shapiro with his jaw-dropping opinions and some of his ingenious debating skills and his pro-life advocacy really puts a common sense spin on things. And he doesn't shy away from trying to tackle the culture wars and some of the hottest culture topics of our time. So that's sure to be a really great event. We did pre-sell some early tickets, and I don't know that that we are anymore. Obviously, tickets have gone live now, but if you got those initial tickets, good for you, because I think that this event will sell out, as we've seen across the country when we host events. Just there seems to be a deep craving of Canadians for the anecdote to the mainstream media and that one-sided narrative. And so this is a great event to provide you with just that. Alexa, do you want to take away this next segment on climate change and the event that you covered over the weekend, the Global Action Summit?
Mm-hmm. So we actually heard last minute that Justin Trudeau was holding this Global Progress Action Summit. But what it is actually, because no, I never really heard about this summit, and it seemed that not many people were interested since we watched the live stream from outside, and about 30 people were watching the live stream. So we see that there is no public interest on this. But Justin Trudeau bring a lot of different people, and most of them are not elected anymore officials. Some of them, I can tell you, was Jacinda Ardern, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand. We had the former Prime Minister of United Kingdom, Tony Blair. There was also the Prime Minister of Norway, Jonas Gahr Støre. And there were also Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party of United Kingdom. And they have like other like former prime minister. If it's not Sweden, it's from another country. But most of them are not in position anymore. So we have these bunch of people who actually lost their position because of their failure of leading their country, because people were, okay, this is enough. We get rid of you because you are destroying like a part of our country. They're all coming here by plane or car, private jet, and they are lecturing people about climate change. And so the most important moment was when, because we needed to split up, because I was able to go in, to go in the room. But at that moment, there were no important guests in the hotel. They were arriving when I was kicked off of the place. But when Lincoln Jay was waiting outside, because of course the RCMP asked them to be on the public sidewalk, he saw coming out of a SUV, like big black SUV, Jacinda Ardern. So I let you watch the interaction he had, and also with the Liberal staffer who actually tried to stop him asking questions and to film.
That's just so brutal that, you know, we had a Liberal cabinet minister, well, a Liberal cabinet member come in and just prevent any sort of public scrutiny or citizen journalism from taking place. Really bizarre unfolding of events at this Global Progress Action Summit, where the elites really gather. And some of them now unelected elites, and in the case of Jacinda Ardern, really unpopular in their own home mm-hmm. countries, then they come over here to preach and virtue signal while engaging in, as you've already mentioned, extremely hypocritical behavior, jet setting across the globe to preach about climate change. Yeah, here's the interaction.
Talk about climate change.
Leave her alone. Leave her alone.
You're on a sidewalk.
No, leave her alone.
You can't touch me.
Leave her alone. You leave her alone.
Does that make sense?
You leave her alone.
Does that make sense?
Man, leave her alone.
You cannot touch me.
Leave her alone.
You can't put your hands on me.
So the question he asked was about the how much fossil fuel did she burn coming all the way here in Canada to talk about climate change?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have a second angle too. I wonder if we can show that second angle. It really drives the point home that this gentleman was putting his hands on Lincoln.
Yeah, he did. And fun fact, he's not a security person. He is a staffer for the Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland. He doesn't have like the rights to touch anybody, and especially from a former prime minister from another country. Who are you for doing that? And you are actually stopping the democracy and the freedom of press. And we just see that this man really represents what the Liberal Party is.
Yeah, and Lincoln wasn't being aggressive in your face. He was just coming up beside her, asking her a couple of questions as she walks into the building. This is very non-threatening. And I think this is truly showcases true boots on the ground journalism. That's what you do. You speak truth to power. And we're there to speak truth to power because the mainstream media, who essentially just acts as government lapdogs and government cheerleaders, doesn't do any of it. They don't do their jobs to hold the government to account and to speak truth to power. They're not representing the average everyday Canadian who has the exact same concerns like the one that Lincoln brought forward. I think this might be the second angle here that we have of, oh no, this is just Lincoln finding this, what was his name, Alexa? I can't remember.
Guillaume Bertrand.
Thank you. Yes, he found him later on the street and just kept asking him why it was appropriate and why he's protecting Jacinda Ardern.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, she was walking on a public sidewalk. If she wanted to avoid that, why she didn't bring the car inside of the garage, how every single person did, instead of just like stopping in the middle of the street and just walking there? This is the first question. And me, I was inside of the garage. So I was with like surrounded by RCMP police and every single person to block me to try asking questions. But at least they allow me to stay inside of the garage door, because how the West End is made is you have a wall and you have a garage that go inside where the door, the main door is inside. So if you are just on the public sidewalk, you have no access to nobody who are going inside of the West End. But for that time, Lincoln was in his right to be in the public sidewalk. He had his right to ask questions and to film. And this man just randomly put his hand on Lincoln, stop him recording, and also saying like, do not disturb the former prime minister. But this is not your position. You are putting yourself in a position that you think you have the power to do so. You don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's clear that the Liberals don't care about freedom of the press in the public square, because this is directly hindering that ability in a public space, in a public sphere, for the public who is directly affected by the policies and discussions that happen during these backdoor, closed door discussions. This was all done in secret. The Global Action Summit was advertised online, didn't say where it was taking place. You could tune into their live stream, which I think has now been made private. They've unlisted the YouTube link, from what I understand. I don't know if that's been restored yet, but it's very clear that the Liberals are feeling very threatened. They can't have any accountability questions because they don't know how to answer them. And they look really silly when faced with real life, just very basic, straightforward questions. And they obviously can't have that. So that's how they react, with force. And I wouldn't maybe call this violence, but it's definitely forceful and unwarranted and unjustified. Lincoln was asking a basic question of a former elected official, including, why are you here to preach to us and gather? Like, these are often unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. And we saw that happening firsthand. Chrystia Freeland is elected. Justin Trudeau is elected. But they're both very much fringe minority electees, if that's even a word. And so when they gather with all these other elites to speak about how they're going to formulate policies like our carbon tax, which has been devastating the livelihoods of Canadians and causing, exacerbating this inflationary period, I think that there's no better time than now to ask them accountability questions during these types of events, hypocritical events at that. Maybe we'll show your video here, Alexa, that you have where you caught the Minister of Norway, where he was coming again to chat and preach about climate change.
I have just a question for you. Is it not hypocritical to come here by flight and car while you want to talk about fighting against climate change?
They're so not used to this also, right? They're used to just whining and dining and getting in and out of their fancy cars and having a quick photo op. They're not used to anybody being critical of what they're doing.
And I wasn't really sure who it was at first because, you know, everything goes so fast. You see so many cars coming. And most of the time, sometimes it's just like client of the hotel. I don't want to yell to people who come like just to have their room at the hotel, you know. But when I saw him, I remember his picture that I saw on the website. And I was like, oh, my God, it's him. So it's why it took me a while to go towards him and ask my question. But as you see, like in front of me, there was a RCMP blocking my way to not go close to him, obviously. So, but they look at me if I was like a kind of strange person. I was just asking a simple question, you know.
Yeah, they really are. They're basic, straightforward questions, and it speaks volumes when they can't answer them. You know, you say that there's so many vehicles there, and in all the footage that I saw, I didn't see an electric vehicle in sight, not one. So we're all supposed to be buying up electric vehicles, and they're this thing of the future. And yet you have these gatherings happening where they discuss electrifying our worlds, and all the security, the elites themselves, none of them are in environmentally friendly, quote unquote, because I don't actually agree that those are environmentally friendly. But none of them are in these electric powered vehicles. So what gives?
And I just wanted to have fun because I saw like the Suburban, there were maybe three, and I saw like there were four inside with big guns, and they were like just preparing, and the car was just keeping running as the other Suburban. So I just had fun, and I just went to them and I say, are you aware that your car is still running?
And they say, you're like, idling. Yeah. There was that big push in the 90s. I think it was the mid, maybe late 90s, where it was idling was going to deplete the ozone layer. And so there was a huge campaign, like stop idling. I think the town that I'm originally from, Cobourg, has an idling bylaw in place. If you're idling for more than 2 minutes, you get a certain amount of for a fine. Idling was like one of the original climate change narratives, that idling was what was contributing to the depletion or the hole in the ozone layer. Whatever happened to the hole? Did it grow as it sealed? Did it repair itself? I thought that was going to kill us all. Anyway, it's just like this ever shifting narrative of climate hysteria. And I definitely remember idling being one of those things. I actually found a really fun t-shirt once from Value Village, and it had a picture of a car with the circle and the line through it. And it said, be a player, represent the ozone layer, stop idling. And, you know, I just thought it was fun and quirky. So I used to wear it to parties because why not spike up and spark that conversation. Anyway, I know that a lot of people are really eager to chat about the 1 million March for Kids protest that's happening tomorrow, gone extremely viral on social media. So before we get to that, we just have a quick super chat to read, or a rumble rant, whatever they're called these days, from Ableist SL. Thank you so much. Says other reasons. So this is in regards to the talk that we are having before the ad break about immigration targets and these simultaneous organized marketing campaigns telling Canadians not to have children, essentially, to save the climate. So this ableist SL says, in regards to that, other reasons people aren't having kids is out of control porn addiction and severe political factionalization, which is also making men fear getting slandered to hell for failed pickup attempts. Yeah, this is a very loaded comment. There's a couple of things going on here. Out of control porn addiction. I think that a lot of people don't realize that that is a thing and how devastating it and how devastating that can be on a relationship and on your ability to have a healthy sexual relationship with a monotonous partner. The factionalization, which is making men fear getting slandered to hell for failed pickup attempts. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the women that they're attempting to pick up. I think there's a respectful way to display chauvinism, and unfortunately, that's been replaced by hysterical feminism. But I think that there's an innate desire from women who are comfortable in their, I don't know, for to sound flowery with my language, who are comfortable and confident in their divine femininity, that they actually prefer that. That gentle, those gentlemanly gestures that seem to have been lost. And that also starts at home with parenting. You know, teach your sons how to respect women, how to display how to display their masculinity and make women feel safe in their presence. So I think that there's a lot, this is like a multifaceted issue, but yeah, it brings up a couple of really good points there. So let's go to a quick ad break and we'll come back and chat about the protests, massive Canada-wide protest happening tomorrow.
Do you want to start feeling like your pre-COVID self again? You're not alone. The wellness company Spike Support Formula is an all-natural supplement to help people do just that. It was created by cardiologist Peter McCullough and his expert team of doctors to help the people experiencing effects from COVID and the you-know-what. Go to twccanada.health/rebel today.
Justin Trudeau's new censorship law, Bill C-18, it's a shakedown and a desperate attempt to keep the mainstream media afloat. Many have already lost their ability to access our Facebook and Instagram pages. The blackout will soon affect every user in Canada. We've partnered with Private Internet Access, a VPN provider dedicated to safeguarding digital privacy. For just $2 a month, you can maintain your access to our content across all your devices at piavpn.com/rebelnews.
All right. So many of our viewers and many Canadians may have heard that there is the 1 million March for Kids happening tomorrow all across Canada, coast to coast to coast. There's planning. The plan is to have a school walkout at 9 a.m. followed by a march at 11 a.m. And that, of course, is local time. So depending on what time zone you are in. And these are happening, obviously, as I mentioned, in various provinces and territories all across the country, in various cities, and ahead of the protests. So a big one will, of course, be in the nation's capital in Canada. That's Ottawa. And so ahead of this protest, we have our videographer, Lincoln Jay, on the scene in Ottawa, currently covering day 10 of the Tamara Leach trial. And that's just kind of a side point here. Tamara Leach and Chris Barber are on trial for the next 16 days. And I think the courts reserved an additional 3 days, may even be extended another 2 weeks because the prosecution just cannot get their evidence together. I'd like to use another word there, but that's the nice way to put it. They can't get their evidence together. There's been a bunch of like sub hearings that happened to try to determine what was admissible, what wasn't, what was going to happen, because there's all these witnesses and cross-examination. And it's, in my opinion, a little bit of a mess. The judge is getting pretty frustrated with the way the prosecution has acted. But anyway, we have our videographer, Lincoln Jay, and our Ottawa correspondent, Robert Krajicek, in the courtroom. Again, today is day 10. So while Lincoln has been stationed outside of the courtroom, getting some notable clips and keeping an eye on what's happening kind of on the ground there, he was able to discover that there are Toronto police currently in Ottawa. And it's suspected that, well, he says that they're there for the protests happening tomorrow. So maybe we can just show his quick little clip here.
Hey, guys. Why are you guys here from Toronto?
I'm sorry?
Why are you guys here from Toronto?
There's some kind of protest stuff going on, that's all.
For tomorrow?
Today and tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it for the march that's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so they brought in people from Toronto, eh? Yeah. Is there other...
No, I think just Toronto.
Just Toronto?
Yeah.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah, and so this march for kids is really to oppose the, sorry, I should have preluded this with what the march is for, and it's to defend the innocence of children, ultimately, and that's why we have that campaign at Stop Classroom Grooming, because the infiltration of radical gender ideology, SOGI 123, sexual orientation, gender identity 123, that's permeated the publicly funded school system, has parents increasingly frustrated and increasingly concerned over what kind of content their children are being exposed to in, again, these publicly funded institutions. We've seen various provinces come forward with legislation blocking school boards from these egregious policies, like preventing parents from being privy to or made aware of whether or not their child decides to arbitrarily gender bend at school if they want to change their pronouns or otherwise. It's called social transition, and it's kind of that first step to begin that transition process. Then they would go, it's suspected, to medical transition, which involves things like chemical castration and hormone therapies, and then of course can oftentimes lead to surgical interventions where children are mutilating their genitals to try to be non-binary or switching genders or whatever other new age gender dysphoria is being confirmed these days within the school system.
And they have been really clear to say that they have nothing against like people who are 18 and more who decide to do whatever they want with their body. They have nothing against that. It's really just for the protection of the children. And it's mostly on the indoctrination that is happening into school than most of other topic. It's mostly they want to protect the kids of what is going on into school, and the parents should have their word to say something against what is going on in those school. But it seems that right now the union is now rising against parents. I don't know if you saw, Tamara.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've posted the leaked. So there was a union Zoom call that was leaked to various media organizations and other independent journalists, where they essentially plot how they're going to protest the parents. And they are advocating for really Antifa-like tactics. Hide your face, hide your identity. They plan to harass, intimidate, bully parents. Some of the language that they use is very much Antifa adjacent. Mm-hmm. And these are union advocates. These are the unions that, our taxpayer dollars go toward paying the salaries of some of these individuals. So the education unions are really out of control. They've shown who they are, what side, what they align themselves with. And so now, as you saw in Lincoln's video there, outside police are being called into these main demonstrations, I suppose, in anticipation of crowd control and some unrest. The parents themselves, the 1 million March for Kids, being organized by various religious groups, you know, Muslims, Christians, Sikhs, you name it. These are parents putting all of their other differences aside to really unite and come together to protect their children and protect their children's innocence. Because a lot of the content that I've seen, and some of us, like yourself, Alexa, as well, from that museum report that you did, to books and videos being shown to these children, to the school surveys that were being mandated by the Ministry of Education here in Ontario to solicit things like children's gender identity and their sexual orientation. In some instances, were given out to children as young as 4 years old in junior kindergarten. This is just absurd. It's gone too far. Parents are worried for their children's innocence, for their ability to be actually parented by the family instead of having the state intervene and put these ideas and these theologies into their heads. And so this is really a unifying of parents on at a grassroots level. And the unions are calling this hate. They're equating this to being some sort of, I think it's, hold on, 2SLGBTQIAA+. Is there another A? Anyway. I think I got the acronym right, but the alphabet soup of gender dysphoria is somehow saying that this is hateful and just simply saying this is inappropriate, this is unnecessary, and get this out of our schools has nothing to do with hating on trans or LGBT, LGB students. This is just the radicalization of this ideology, and parents are fed up with it. And so they're coming together to show their opposition. We have the leaked meeting. I don't know how long this particular clip is, if we have a shorter clip that we can show.
I think I have like the shorter clip on my Twitter.
If we could just play a quick clip of this, you can hear it for yourselves what these union members and these union heads are advocating for.
We are seeing a set of protests that are all being done simultaneously. They're all being set for 9 a.m. in each of their time zones in every single province of this country, in multiple states of these provinces. And it is really scary. It is extremely similar as to what has been happening in the U.S., and we are very, very worried about what could be coming next. We are wanting to show a very strong response countering these protests, to show that, you know, they even think that there's a possibility of bringing what's happening other places here. We're going to be there to counter it every single step of the way. We want to show a very heavy, many people on this call that have a lot of experience in dealing with this type of thing that can help us keep each other safe and be strong in the response that we're doing as well to these hate mongers, really.
Now being under the guise of being led by parents, it's being by the guise of being led by religious faith and some sort of ethnic communities. And we need to be supported, and we're all getting together and being disrupting and causing some good trouble.
View Avenue in Ottawa with Save Canada, Josh Alexander and Billboard Chris came. And I have a lot of great information to share and spread about what they did, how they organized, and how we countered. Our numbers were, in fact, a lot bigger than just a couple hundred. I think we had probably closer to 300 or 400, whereas fascists were indeed violent. In terms of Ottawa, we have just planned a counter protest starting at 9 a.m. on the Supreme Court of Canada lawn. We chose this location because it's just adjacent to where they were building, and we are not in the business of defending the state from fascists. We are in the business of protecting communities and each other to ensure that the hate does not go unopposed in the streets. I mentioned the fact that, like, this is absolutely crucial that we oppose this in the streets. And this is just signs that I've seen that we're rising, that this is far more than just like a far-right transphobic protest. They are fundamentally racist. They're fundamentally anti-union. They are fundamentally queer and transphobic. And it's just a matter of time before they come to us. And the only way, the best way that the fascists have been stopped in the last 100 years has been when we unite in massive numbers in the streets. So this requires us to pivot and start to think about how we can use our inherent strength in a way that we're not used to using.
Yeah, so you get the picture there. Yeah. And you can find all of our reports, and you can follow along on Rebel News Twitter accounts or some of our individual Twitter accounts to find clips. So there's the whole video there. I think we posted it on our Rumble channel. It's an hour and 11 minutes, roughly. But they say they're bringing what's happening in other places like United States here. No, I'm pretty sure that the radical gender ideology and SOGI123 and this idea of critical race theory, et cetera, because they're very similar in their ideology and theories, those actually came from the United States into Canada. And now as that slow creep has progressed, parents, again, have become increasingly upset, concerned, and frustrated because every time they try to bring up a concern around this, these ideologues, they're called, well, you heard it in the Zoom meeting, they're called fundamentally racist. How can you call a bunch of Sikhs and a bunch of Muslims who are uniting to protect their children from a mind virus fundamentally racist? That is absurd. Fundamentally fascist. I'm pretty sure that what these unions are calling for, these Antifa adjacent tactics, like hiding your identity, wearing a mask to hide your face, disrupting is an exact word that woman used, and causing some good trouble. Those are fascist tactics. Not being able to understand and learn from and hear someone else out over preference for your indiscriminate imposition of your own position, that is fascism. That is literally textbook fascism, is to have your way or the highway. They don't even realize that these parents are concerned about things like soft porn being present in textbooks, being depicted in picture books via video footage shown to children in the classroom, teaching kindergartners that they can be non-binary, gender fluid unicorn. This is confusing children. It's frustrating parents. And if they would just hear them out and hear their concerns and look at some of the content, right? We show the receipts. You had that report from that museum, Alexa, where a man quite literally undressed and got naked in front of a group of school children on a class trip, perhaps unbeknownst to their parents. This is the kind of thing and the direction that the school system has been going for years unabated. And parents are finally fed up. They've had enough. They've trusted that the system was working in their favor and instituting tangible learning, right? The ABCs and the 1-2-3s. And we've veered so far off, of course, that now parents are finally standing up and they're being called fundamentally racist, fascist, and hateful for doing so. I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. And everything that the union and their heads and their leaders are advocating for is exactly what they claim to be denouncing.
And it's just crazy because they are talking as if the number one enemy are parents and are people like Josh Alexander and Chris Billboard, that he did nothing wrong, that just saying that children cannot agree with puberty blockers, they cannot consent to that, they don't know the full impact that can have for a long term. And so they are talking if those people are criminals and we should almost get rid of them in the society. It's just crazy how they talk, because when we look at the other side are not attacking, like targeting people. They are just saying enough is enough. We don't want indoctrination in school. Please listen to us.
And whatever you want to do at home with your children, if you would like to teach them this kind of content or this type of direction, then, I mean, who are we to meddle in your personal life? They're just saying, get this out of our publicly funded institutions. Our tax dollars are funding this nonsense and we're fed up and we don't want to see it in our schools anymore. And it looks like the vast majority of Canadians agree. This is a recent news article from CTV News. I think it was, just this morning. Transgender rights in Canada deeply divide voters, as study suggests. Mm-hmm. Most still believe in only two genders. I mean, my goodness, is this really so extreme to think? The article goes on to say, as more Canadians are faced with the evolving nature of gender identity, gaps in the ways different groups view the subject are growing, according to a recent survey by the Angus Reid Institute. I don't think that the gaps in the ways different groups view the subject are actually growing. I think that most people just recognize basic science and biology and that there in fact is only male and female. And I will acknowledge that there are extremely, extremely, extremely small fractions and percentages of people who may be something otherwise, but it is a percentage of a percentage of a percentage. And the fact that we're kowtowing to this idea of being gender fluid and you can be whoever you want to be, even if that changes every day, whatever your pronouns are today might be different tomorrow, so on and so forth, and do this without the knowledge or consent of parents is leading children, these poor, confused, hormonal teenagers, down a very dangerous, unprecedented path with medical interventions that are irreversible. And as you've already mentioned, Alexa, something that they cannot adequately provide informed consent for or on. That's where these parents are coming from. And to call them hateful, racist, fascists is absolutely absurd. I hope the union gets a big wake-up call tomorrow when this group gathers to see who's there in opposition to this radicalization of children in schools versus who isn't.
And we would try to bring you the other side of the story. So we would be on the ground. All our team would be deployed in Canada to report on the 1 million march for children, but also with the counter protest. We need to hire some security for us because, as you know, like police is not really doing anything for protecting us. You saw it in multiple reports on mine. So if you want to contribute and help us to offset those costs, you can do so on our website. That is topclassroomgrooming.com, I believe.
Yeah. That's the one. We have another Rumble rant here that I'll just get to quickly. $5 from Enmark, thank you very much, is the protest in Calgary, YCC at City Hall. I'm not familiar. I had the website pulled up. It looks like the website may have been taken down. If you pull up our reports, they should all be housed at stopclassroomgrooming.com. So if you scroll down there, and I'm just going to pull it up and double check right now that I'm sending you on the correct path. But if you scroll down on stopclassroomgrooming.com, you will see, the last three reports on that page are all to do with this protest. If you click in there, you'll find hyperlinks to event pages and information, so on and so forth. So just click around a little bit and see if you can find out. I'm guessing it's at City Hall, but you probably just want to confirm. You know, utilize social media, Twitter, Facebook, wherever else you might get your news from, hopefully with a VPN, and you can find out a little bit more there because there's so many happening all across the country. It's really been difficult to keep track of. Just before we wrap things up, I guess we're going to just quickly touch on this Russell Brand story. I don't follow Hollywood very much, so I'm not super familiar with the allegations against Russell Brand, but I think that it was discussed a little bit on the live stream yesterday. But today we have news here from the BBC that YouTube has suspended Russell Brand from advertising income. I mean, surprise, surprise, YouTube is the censorious platform of social media. We are demonetized from YouTube. We have been, I think, since late 2020 after questioning some election happenings in the United States. And then, of course, you know, when we shared actual mask science and questioned some things about the safe and effective narrative that was being pushed down everybody's throats. And I mean, arguably still is. But I'm not very surprised that YouTube has suspended him. They've suspended his channels from making money from advertisements for violating its creator responsibility policy. And of course, this is in result of, or due to rather, his allegations against him for sexual assault and so on and so forth. The video platform says it was taking action to protect its users. Meanwhile, the BBC has said it had removed some programs featuring the comedian and actor from its streaming services. So ahead of these allegations against Russell Brand, which again, I don't follow very closely. I don't really care about Hollywood or this individual. I'm not familiar with the allegations or the claims apart from what I've just mentioned there. Alexa, do you have any more insight to garner?
I know that I was following a little bit Viva Frey. He's actually commenting on what is going on with Russell Brand. But the fact that you two, like, he's not been found guilty yet. I believe that right. he's not being, like, found guilty. But every single body around and big tech are treating, like, are treating him as he is guilty without knowing the real result. So now they are blocking him. Everybody is like painting him as like a bad person. Can we have the final verdict before media and a big tech platform are actually accusing him and doing his trial on the public space? Can we mm-hmm. like let him like doing what he have to pass through with lawyer? And afterwards, you can do whatever you want. But big tech should not act like that. But we saw that, again, it's another way of censorship that is happening.
Right. Yeah, it seems more and more that you're guilty until proven innocent versus the other way around, which is you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And whether or not these sexual assault allegations are founded or, you know, are credible or otherwise, I'm not really at the mercy to say. I don't know enough about it. Hollywood, you know, speaks for itself there, whether or not these individuals may be responsible for some sexual assaults and inappropriate conduct. I think that anybody who knows anything about the way Hollywood conducts itself may be able to garner some insights just from that. But yeah, this guilty until proven innocent nonsense is what we've seen, especially throughout the COVID regime, right? If you opposed the one-sided government-sanctioned narrative, there was no time to debate your rationale or whether or not you were coming from a place that was justified. You were just guilty until proven innocent, and you would be canceled, slandered, smeared. We saw professionals lose their licenses. So that's where, you know, I don't necessarily agree with the censorship, but who knows?
And we will not hide the fact that Russell Brand always been so controversial, especially during the pandemic, because what he was saying was not going in the same way than the narrative of multiple government around the world. So just the fact that now this is happening, it's actually like now it's a perfect coincidence to get rid of him on platform and just censor him more.
Right. Yeah. If they can't find one way, they will certainly find another. And I don't think we have any more Rumble rants. So we're about 7 minutes past the hour. And reminder that tomorrow there will not be a live stream. We're deploying everyone who we have available out into the field to bring you exclusive coverage of the 1 million March for Kids protest that will be happening all across the country tomorrow, beginning in various jurisdictions around 9 a.m. will be the protest. There's school walkouts planned and then a march planned for 11 a.m. local time. So whatever time zone you're in, 9 a.m. and 11 seems to be the cohesive, consistent time frame for the protests. And for everybody who's joined us at home, for everybody who sent us a Rumble rant, thank you so much for supporting our work and supporting our efforts. We couldn't do this without you. For everybody behind the scenes who made this live stream possible, from getting links to the verbiage to putting all the schedule all together, you know, there's a lot of, we're kind of the front and center, Alexa and I, of the live stream, but there are so many important roles happening behind the scenes that make this all possible. So thank you to all of them, to super producers Olivia and Efron for finding links and things that we reference and chat about on the fly. And of course, for Alexa, for joining me, for being there on the ground over the weekend to speak truth to power, for being out in the field tomorrow to do the same. Really, it's a really great team effort that we have here. So thanks everybody at home. Thanks everybody in studio and all across the country. And we will not see you same time and place tomorrow, but we will be back on Thursday, September the 21st, same time and place, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. So we hope that you'll join us then. Until that time, stay safe and stay sane.
Stay sane.